Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
Hallelujah. Welcome, welcome, welcome this morning. So good to see you in the house of God. Hope that you are having a good and safe Memorial Day. If you're fishing, I hope you're catching a lot of them. If you're swimming, I hope you're swimming fast or whatever. If you're eating, I know you're eating a lot. I'm not going to have to say that. Hallelujah. We've had graduations. We celebrated graduations last week. We had graduation get-togethers all weekend long. And I am right now what they would call a full gospel preacher. Don't know if I could have any more. Amen. But you know, we come to this weekend, most of us mark it as the start of the summer. There are different other reasons why people mark it, but it is a time for us to remember why we have the freedoms that we have. You know, I love the bumper sticker, which it's a, not taking anything away from teachers because I love teachers. Thank God. But I love the one bumper sticker that says, if you speak English today, thank a soldier, not a teacher, you know, and that is some truth to that, that only by the grace of God and the sacrifices that men and women have made that have allowed us to be the great country that we are. Amen. And so if you are a veteran, and I know that Memorial Day is not Veterans Day, but I want to honor our memorial or our veterans today. If you would stand, would you stand? Thank you so much for your service. Thank you so much for your service. And those of you who have been in conflicts and lost loved ones and friends, and those of you who have family members that you've lost, today we honor you. We thank God for the sacrifices that you have made and they have made. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Go with me in your Bibles, if you will. I want to go to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 65. I've just got a few points today. You might even get out early. I doubt it, but you might. You know, as a pastor, I have to give people hope. I said that you might even get out early. My wife said, why did you even say that? Because I have to give people hope. It's my job. It's my, as a pastor, I got to give people hope. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So glad having all those that have been in college. Good to have them home. My daughter, she was in Greece. Good to have her home. Amen. All of the other graduates. I know that my daughter graduated. I'm looking around some other graduates. Maybe they in the 11 o'clock, they party too much in a good way. But glad to see her. Amen. In the book of Isaiah, I want to talk to you tonight or today about we're on a series called Bridge Builders. And I'm really not going to use the bridge just as a point of contact, as just something to visualize. Usually I preach something and some slats have been laid out of them, or and I use the slats as the points. But today I just want to use it as a visual for just something as a visual that you can focus on, I should say. And I want to talk to you about a bridge over troubled water. A bridge over troubled water. I don't know if you have, if you've never been in troubled water, if you've never had to cross troubled water, it's because you haven't lived long enough. Because I promise you that either that or, you know, don't be offended. There'll be plenty of other times. Either you have not lived long enough or you're just too stupid to realize you was in trouble. Because that's a possibility too. But every one of us, if we live long enough, we're going to go through some troubled waters. Most of us have been through our fair share of troubled waters. Most of us have a PhD in troubled water. Some of us have wrote the book and sent postcards and bought the t-shirts on troubled water. But I'm glad that Jesus builds a bridge over troubled water. He is my bridge over troubled water. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost messing with me. But in the book of Isaiah, chapter 65, should be pretty close in the middle of your Bible. If you can't find it, ask somebody to help you. It's on page 657 if you got a Bible like mine. And it says this, so that he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. And he who swears in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten. I want you to underline that. Because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hidden from my eyes. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. Did you catch that? Rejoice in what I'm about to create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. No more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Hallelujah. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble. For they shall be descendants of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. Glory to God. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. My God, somebody hear me this morning. Glory to God. It shall come to pass, one more time, that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, thank you, Jesus, I will hear. Can you bring verse 25 up, Robert? Verse 25 says this, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. And dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Come on, give Jesus a hand. Let's talk a little bit about troubled water. Because here's what I know. I know that God wants to bring restoration to our lives. Not just spiritual restoration, but restoration in all areas of our life. Now, there's a myth that circulated not too many years ago among Christians and non-Christians, and it was a myth that would say something along these lines. That the Old Testament portrays God as a God of anger and wrath and judgment, and it's only the New Testament that we can begin to see a God of love, compassion, and mercy. I've heard people say that I can't believe in the God of the Old Testament. I can only believe in the God of the New Testament, but because they are two different deities. Let me just go on record and say that it was the God of the Old Testament is still the God of the New Testament, and the God that did it back then is the same that will do it again today. And the God of the Old Testament, God is just and He is righteous and He is right. And the only reason that you may feel a little different about the New Testament than you do about the Old Testament is because of the blood of Jesus and the grace and the mercy of God. All throughout the Old Testament, God had a work and a plan in mind. All throughout the Old Testament, God was working to bring restoration to your past, restoration to my past. He was working. He was doing what needed to be done in order to reconcile you and I back to Himself. Every judgment that God has ever brought upon mankind, it was to bring people back to Him. It was to turn people away from where they were going and bring them back to a place where He knew that they ought to be and should be, because He created us. I don't know about you, but as a father of two children, every punishment, every discipline that I gave them was not because I did not love them. It was because I did love them, and I do love them, and I did everything I did then in order to enjoy now. Come on, somebody. See, when a person makes that statement, he's admitting his lack of knowledge of the Old Testament. The Old Testament is full of stories, prophecies, promises that reveal God's nature to us. If all we had was the Old Testament, it would be enough. If all we had, it would be enough. The Old Testament was all the early Christians had. Now I want you to think about it. When Paul was going through it was only the Old Testament he had. When Peter was being sifted as wheat, it was only the Old Testament that he had. When Elijah, he didn't even have the whole Old Testament. When he was going through it, when so many people was going through it, all they had was the Old Testament, but it still was enough to bring them through. From beginning to end, the Old Testament promises a Messiah who would make right all that was wrong, who would bring peace to the planet, and who would restore all that had been broken by sin and rebellion of man. Glory. This is the God of the Old Testament tells us about. A God who takes things that are broken and restores them. Who takes things that are broken and puts them back together. Who takes things that were broken and others would discard. He would use those same entities, those same instruments that people thought that were worthless. He would show the world how valuable they were because they were His. Isaiah 65 shows us three areas in our lives where God promises us to bring restoration. He's not just talking about heaven, but He's referring to the work of the Messiah on earth and His work in salvation in the lives and how it applies to us today. First of all, God wants to restore your broken past. Everybody has a past. Everybody has a BC. Everybody has a before Christ. Everybody has an element in your life that maybe you're not proud of, or an element in your life. Have you ever looked back on elements of your life that you wish you could have done over? You wish you would have done differently. Everybody has a broken past. And I don't care how holy you may think you are, or how holy you may look at somebody else and think they are. Everybody has a past. God doesn't have grandchildren. He only has children. Everybody
somebody has to come to a place in their life that they come before God, that they may, He may be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but at some point in time in your life, He's got to become the God of whoever your name, you put your name there. He is the God of Elizabeth Reed, which is my grandmother. He is the God of Corny Hicks Reed, my father, but He's also the God of Ronnie Reed. And I can tell you, not because of my declaration, but because of their declaration, He's the God of Jillian Reed. He's the God of Lauren Reed. He's not just the God of Ronnie Reed. He is the God. He is God, and He needs to be your God. If you need to be restored, if you need to be put back together, it is God that will restore. It is God that will mend and heal your broken past. The greatest obstacle to happiness that many people face is not the present or the future. It's the past. It's the past that keeps us from being happy. It's the past that keeps us from being where God wants us to be. It's the past. Millions of people live miserable lives because they are haunted by something that they've done in the past. Something they didn't do. Maybe it was something that they should have done. Maybe something that happened to them. And they haven't been able to break free of the chains of the heartache of the past. Whatever it may be, the past has the power to destroy you. The past has the power to hold you. The past has the power to bind you. The past has the power to paralyze you. The past has the power to cause you to lose your hope, lose your faith, lose your focus. The power, that there's powerful power in the past. But let me just go ahead and tell you that there's greater power. Greater is He that is in us than he that stands against us. You know why? Because He was the God. He was the God on this side of your present, but He's also the God in the middle of your life. And He's the God when you come out on the other side. He is God. He is a God that can straddle, that can straddle. He's got one foot in your past and one foot in your future, and He's all in between. He is here. He is there. He is everywhere. There's nowhere you can go to get away from God. Let's get over our past. Let's get over our past. Maybe it was something that happened to us. Whatever it may be, I can tell you this, God wants to restore it. Hurtful words spoken decades ago bring a pain every time you remember them. Do you remember that one teacher? Maybe it was your father. Maybe it was a loved one. Do you remember that one cliche, that one statement that the devil keeps bringing back to your mind time and time again? Maybe it was a spouse. Maybe it was a loved one. Whomever it may be, and it comes and pierces every time you hear those words, or every time you're about to get over, you feel the piercing, and you go back to the other side. I've come by to tell you that God wants to heal that in you this morning. God wants to heal you and cause you to get over your past. Many marriages fail simply because people can't get past the past. There was a Sunday morning. A lady came to the altar to pray, and she was praying, and people were praying with her. And she confessed her pain. She said these words. She said, "Before I got married, I was promiscuous. I was very loose. Now my daughter is 16 years old, and I realize that I have no right to tell her to be good because I wasn't. Every time I try to talk to her, I remember myself at her age, and I can't bring myself to say anything." This lady's broken past still controlled her life. Her broken past still controlled her life in the present. And not only was it controlling her life in the present, but it was controlling her children because she was unable to let them know what was right and what was wrong. I will stand on the top of this building and tell everybody it, that there was a past. I have a past. There were some things that I did that I'm not proud of, but I've come by to tell you, put me on the roof. Whatever the case, I will shout it from the rooftops that I've been saved. I've been redeemed. I've been restored. And what God has done, let no man cut asunder. Because what God did in me was to restore. And so yesterday I can say I know better now. How ludicrous for you not to teach your children because you did it. There's a biblical word for that. It's called bull. God promises to break the power of the past and bring restoration. Verse 17, for the past troubles will be forgotten and hidden from my eyes. Behold, I will create new heaven and a new earth. And former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. See, that's how the devil used, that's how the devil would do us. Make us be reminded of what we used to do. When I discipline my children, when I talk to them about not doing wrong, I don't always go immediately to what I used to do. That ain't even in my mind. You know why? All things have been passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That don't go off in my mind. You know why? Because my mind has been renewed by the power of His Word. There's an old Southern gospel song that goes, what sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. And I don't remember the rest of the song. So that's all you will get. Have you ever read the Peter's epistles? You ever read the epistles of Peter? Or the Peter's epistles? Say that six times real fast. If you've read them, I don't know if you get sometimes, and it don't always hit me, but every once in a while, it'll hit me how confident and how much with authority that Peter writes. But wait a minute, are we talking about the same Peter? You know that obviously the people whom he was writing to knew his failures. He knew his past. But you would think that he would be embarrassed. You would think that he'd be ashamed. How can he write with such authority? And I know some people go, well, because his skin's just thick. You know, some people can just sin and don't even worry about it. And you're right. There are some people who can do that. But there are some people who can be like Peter. And Peter was able to make a comeback because God restored Peter's broken past. See, there is a fine line, church. The Bible says that a broken and contrite spirit, God would nowise cast aside. So there is a need for sorrow. There is a need for us to repent. There is a need for us to be, people go, well, you know, there's new sin of today. No, it's not. You name any other. They figured out other ways to sin. But there ain't no new sin. It's always been there. Well, you know, that homosexuality, it came in the 80s. No. Back in Sodom and Gomorrah. Even before that. You name it. Incest. It's in there, man. It's all in there. It's there. But the difference is now people celebrate their sin. Instead of being ashamed of their sin. And we do it in the church sometimes too. You know, it doesn't matter. I know churches who say, I don't care if the musicians are out in the clubs playing on Saturday as long as they're sober and in church on Sunday. That ain't gonna happen in my church. So Arthur, I'm just telling you right now, bro. But that's the way they do it. And I understand that if you sin, that yes, get back up. Don't let the devil keep you there. Get back up. But for us not to have a little bit of remorse or a little bit, God, I'm not telling you to make people or let people keep you down, but we've got to come to a place in our life that, Lord, I am truly sorry for what I've done, but yet you are able to restore me. And there comes a time, there are still times, I go back to Mobile and preach and people, I got to look at people that I used to party with. I got to look at people that I've done wrong, but I can't go to every one of them. I just got to go, look what the Lord has done. Lord has done a good work in me. And let's build a bridge and get over it. Go over the troubled water and move on. Woo! Glory. Y'all done about preached me this morning. Peter makes mistakes, but God restored him. Paul had a past, but God restored him. Moses had a past, but God restored him. Rahab, the harlot, had a past, but God restored him. Mary Magdalene had a past, and God restored her. I could go on and on about people in the Bible. Matter of fact, I could go on about people in this room. We could spend a long time just right here. Right here we could spend some time. But I know that God restores. Now listen to this statement. I think it's my next one, Robert. We may have to live with the consequences, but we don't have to live with the guilt, shame, bitterness, and pain. God restores. You know, I know people who all the time, well, Pastor, I don't understand. I got saved. Why do I got to go to prison? Well, because you robbed a bank. And I know that God could have, but he didn't. So you're going to do your time. And in the words of the prophet Beretta, don't do the crime if you can't do the time. The sound of weeping and crying will be heard no more. God will restore your broken past. Secondly, God will restore your broken dreams. God will restore your broken dreams. Now, what dreams do you have? What dreams do you have? God knows how to restore those broken dreams of your life. Now, I know that time gets away from us sometimes, and maybe we can't go back and restore that, but God can restore your womb of dreams. Hallelujah. The Bible said in verse 20 of our text, never again will there be an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. He who dies as 100 be thought mere a youth. Death causes us to experience the pain of broken dreams, but God can restore our hope. Now, he promises that death is not the end. It is the beginning. Broken dreams are caused not only by an untimely death, but also by an unfulfilled life. You can't just sit around waiting for it to happen. You can't wait and think it's going to be osmosis for it to happen. You got to recognize that God's got a part, but so do you. You have a part to play in this. And listen, if your dream involves other people, guess what? They have a part to play too. And other people can mess up the dream, but God is never without a plan. Good preaching, Pastor. You know, I shared this a couple of weeks ago, but I'll go to my grave believing that my first church was not supposed to be Blountstown Church of God or Westview Church of God in Blountstown, Florida. I believe it was supposed to be in Panama City, Florida. And I don't know how God does it and all that. All I know is that I know right now today that I'm in the will of God, and I'm so happy that God brought me to Crystal River 20 years ago, and I'm so happy that I've been able to raise my children here, and I'm so happy that I got to meet most of y'all. Let's just be real, right? Most of y'all. Which ones? Y'all going to figure it out. I'm kidding. Maybe your dreams have been broken by death, or maybe you've been broken by life. But God can bring about restoration. You know, some of us are broken by life. Just life gets us. Living life is hard sometimes. It's hard. All you got to do is you got to breathe. No, yeah, sometimes it's hard. If you have any purpose in your life, sometimes it's hard. You're going to go through troubles and trials. But that's what God does. He takes things that are broken and puts them back together again. Well, but Pastor, God didn't put back my marriage. Well, He could have. But once again, it takes two. It takes two to tango. But He didn't put it. Lord, He could have put my family back together. Well, I'm sure He would have worked on it, but it still takes two. You know, don't you love those people who go, "Can God do anything?" And I go, "Yes, He can do anything." Well, can He make a rock too heavy for Him to lift? The spirit of slap comes on me. You know, as the prophet Forrest said, you can't fix stupid. That's Forrest Gump if you're looking for it. If you're looking. Number three, I'm almost done. God wants to restore your broken relationships. First of all, God wants to restore your family harmony. Your family harmony. The traditional family is under attack, church. I read recently in the 1950s, more than 80% of U.S. households were made up of married couples. Today, the figure is less than 50%. In the 1950s, about 8% of American children were born out of wedlock. Today, that figure is somewhere between 30 and 50. Today, the divorce rate is twice of what it was in 1950. The traditional family is becoming a thing of the past. Now, don't raise your hands, but how many times a week do we sit down as a family and eat at the dinner table? See, I believe that God's trying to bring back the dinner table. There's a lot of things that happen around the table. People are starting to realize that. Look at some of the most some of your best shows on television. Blue Bloods. Talk it out around the table. Sitting together. And I know with our fast-paced life, it's just unconducive for us to make that happen. But you need to, as often as you can, what makes my wife happy, 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 is for us to sit down to a meal that I have cooked. I said happy, happy, happy. That really makes her happy, happy, happy. But no, she loves to fix dinner and me and the two kids sit down with her at the table and have dinner. Now there's a rule in my house. It's an unspoken rule. But when we come to the dinner table, we put the phones down and we eat. We try not to, I say try. We try not to answer them or do those things, but we talk. It's an art that all of us ought to try a little bit more often. Because of the economics, or drugs, or abuse, or lack of education, some children, I know I'm going to get some probably letters on this one, but some children seem to be destined to mirror their stupid parents. Because let's just be real. Some of the biggest problem with children is the parents, or the lack thereof, or the lack of discipline, whatever you want to call it. You know, I remember when my dad would say things like, "I just don't know what's wrong with this generation," like he didn't have nothing to do with it. You want to know what's wrong with this generation? I'm going to tell you. You ready? The last generation. Boy, you can hear crickets in here now. Oh, yeah, when I talk about restoring y'all's past, you was like, "Woo!" Now when a monkey's on your back, you're like, "I don't know who he's talking to. He's meddling. That's what he's doing. He's all up in my grill right now." God has the power to break the negative patterns that we inherit from our families. Anybody other than me think I'm adopted? Think you're adopted in your own family? Yeah. Many of us think we're adopted. Why? Because I don't think like my family. In many ways I do, but in other ways I don't. Why? Because I've decided years ago to break the negative patterns that I saw. Now, my dad's a godly man. My mother was a godly woman. But there were some negative patterns that I decided to break. Now, what was them? Let me just give you one, for instance. I hit this a couple of weeks ago. But one instance I can remember at 17 years of age, coming home most weekends at 5 or 6 in the morning. They didn't know where I was at, what I was doing. I broke that negative pattern. Do you think that I struggled when I told my children, your curfew's 11, your curfew's 12? Do you think I struggled with that knowing that I used to be out till 5 or 6? No. I didn't struggle one bit. How could you say that? Because I know what I got into at that time of night. And so I don't struggle a bit keeping my children, hey, where are you going? You keep listening to me. You don't go nowhere. That was my daughter in the front. They're going to Sunday school. She said, I heard enough of this. Bring your behind back in here anyway. I don't have any problem with that because I know. And when a parent knows good but don't tell their children about it, isn't that abuse? Good preaching. Let me just break it on down. Let me get down here and then I'll be done. One more. Give my next one. I think I got it. Humanity harmony. God wants us to live in unity whenever possible with all flesh. With all flesh. With all flesh. Remember the old song? Was it green or white? They are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. We used to sing it, but we never do it. We sing it, but we don't do it. God wants us to live in harmony with all. The Bible said this, verse 25, the wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, and they will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. Then lastly, spiritual harmony. That's what God did. That's what Jesus did. Was to come to restore man to God. Before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. This is the promise that bridges the gap. The gap that exists between God and man will be bridged. And our broken relationship will be restored. You know what I like about the bridge? Let me tell you something else. One other thing, and I'm done. Come on, help me. One of the things I like about a bridge is it means that I can go back to help people without having to go through what I went through. That I don't have to get down in the mud with you to help you. Oh, help me somebody. That means I don't have to come out in, I don't have to get all up in your drama in order to be on the bridge and say, here's the way. Come on around here. There's a better way. You don't know. Oh yeah, I used to be on this side. And I was over here, and now I'm over there, and you're right there. Why don't you just come up on the bridge and let the Lord Jesus Christ take you to the other side? Why don't God makes a way where you can come across the drama and save it for your mama? Stand to your feet with me. God promises our relationship with Him can be one of peace, fellowship, and blessing. God's made an offer. It's a fallen world that we live in, church. We're victims of the fall. And as a result, many of us live broken lives. We live with broken past and broken relationships, broken dreams. It may be that way for you right now. But it doesn't have to remain that way. I want our spirit life team to come. I just really sense there are some people who you just need someone to pray with you. Whether it be, you can tell them as much or as little as you want to. And they'll pray with you. It may be one of those situations, Pastor, I don't even want to say anything. Well, just come. Just come and let them pray. They're going to sing this song. And as they begin to sing, would you just get out of your seat? You can share as much or as little. But if there are some broken areas of your life, some broken relationships, whatever, you can let the Holy Spirit lead them, or you can tell them what you want them to pray for or believe with you. Here's what the Bible said. The Bible says one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. When you come into agreement, there's power in agreement. And I think too often that we sit in our seat because we don't want people to think that there's anything going on in our lives. But let me go ahead and help all y'all out. There's something going on in all of our lives, usually all of the time. And we can sit here prim and proper and say, well, God hears me back here. Yes, He does. But I'm telling you, there's something about it. There's power when you come into agreement with somebody who will pray with you. If you're in a broken relationship with Christ, I want to give you that opportunity to make it right with Him. Would you bow your heads with me? If you don't know Jesus, if you're out of a relationship, would you just lift up your hand and say, Pastor, I need to know Him as Savior.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. and again in the evening at 6 p.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.